Speaking at this service is both my favourite talk of the year and my least favourite talk of the year. And one of it's my favourite talk because who doesn't like a carol service? You know, I love singing carols, I love hearing the familiar readings, and it's a great treat to speak at this point. But there's always a difficulty, and the difficulty is the familiarity. Everything about Christmas is familiar, isn't it? I did what I really didn't need to do, but I always do every year. I recently bought the kind of listings for the week of television around Christmas, and of course I didn't need to turn to it. I knew what was already there on Christmas Day. Queen, check. Doctor Who, check. People falling out with each other on EastEnders, check. You know, it's all there. It's familiar. My guess is even this service has felt familiar. Hark the Herald, tick. Once in Royal David City, tick. Don't worry, we've got to come all you faithful on the way, tick. It's familiar, isn't it? The readings are familiar. Everything is familiar. And at one level, that's quite comforting. You know, there are reasons we like familiar things. They're reassuring. But the problem is, familiar things aren't very often life-changing. You know, familiar things, they're comfortable. They don't necessarily challenge us. And so as I was thinking, how do I get past familiarity, the thought struck me, why don't you go for the most radical section of the Christmas story? And it seems to me the surprise is that the most radical words in the Christmas story come from a very young woman. They come from Mary. And the astonishing thing she says is this: much as we think Christmas is about harmony and peace, she says Christmas teaches us that there is a massive division. A massive division in humanity, maybe even a massive division within this room. You know, by this point, Mary has been told her astonishing news. She's going to have the most amazing privilege. She will give birth to the Son of God, this precious child promised for centuries. And her response is to sing a song. Now, I guess we're used to the idea of songs at Christmas. Again, it's part of the familiarity. And they're comforting. Let's be honest, Noddy Holder is comforting rather than life-changing. But this song is dynamite. This song is radical. She starts off by glorifying God. She's had the most amazing privilege. See what she says. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. This great privilege I have of giving birth to the Son of God, future generations will know about this. Now, to be honest, I don't know whether at that stage Mary realises that it's going to be the ambition of every seven-year-old girl in parts of the world to become her. But she does know she's got the most amazing privilege. And she says, that's happened despite the fact that I'm a nobody. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servants. God has given this amazing privilege to a young virgin, somebody who is not significant in the slightest. And she praises God. But it's the next bit that's the radical bit. Because Mary says, what God has done for me is a picture of what God does throughout the world. You know how when something like the budget happens, and the budget's not very interesting, and the poor people doing the news have got to find some way of making it interesting, often what they'll do is they'll start with a clip of, let's say, Mary from Walsall, and we find out the impact of the budget on Mary from Walsall, so that you then get into the sort of national picture. That's what's happening here. Mary is saying, what God has done for me, that's a picture of the way in which God works in the world. How does he work? We'll see what she says. God has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. When God gets to work in the world, there are winners and there are losers. There are people he brings down and there are those he lifts up. He brings down the proud, the rulers, the rich. He lifts up the humble and the hungry. Can you begin to see why Mary is saying some radical stuff? God is on the side of the humble and the hungry. Tonight is the Sports Personality of the Year, followed by the final of The Apprentice. The BBC always chooses to clash those things with the Woody Road Carol Service. It's a complete mystery to me. But I guess those kind of events show what naturally human beings aspire to. If you listen to The Apprentice candidates, nobody is saying, I got here because I prize humility. None of them are saying that, because that's not the way to be successful. And yet Mary is saying, the way God works in the world, it's better to be humble. It's almost better to be hungry than rich, because somehow God is on your side. Actually, it's not just Mary who says that. Do you notice Simeon talked, actually, in that last reading about Jesus bringing rising and falling? Some people God will bring down, some people God will lift up. And Mary's son will say these words, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Let's be honest, they're challenging words for a group meeting in Oxford. God is going to bring down the proud and the successful. He's going to lift up the humble and the weak. And the Christmas story tells us that, the way God reveals himself to people like Mary, shepherds, Simeon and Anna, old people in the temple, even the wise men, they're outsiders, they're the wrong nationality. But in addition to what God does at the Christmas story, can I say the very identity of Jesus means that you will need to be humble to benefit from him. The very identity of Jesus means that you will need to be humble to benefit from him. There are basically two descriptions of Jesus as you work through the Christmas story. He is a king and a saviour. A king and a saviour. A king is somebody who reigns. In Jesus' case, as you follow through Luke's account, it's not that he reigns over a country. He reigns over people's lives. He reigns over things like death. He is the ultimate ruler. And as the ultimate ruler, he claims the right to direct our lives. He is the one who's got the right to tell us how we should live and think. Now, can I ask, if you're proud, you're not going to welcome that. No, the proud will say, no, nobody's got the right to tell me how to live. I decide how I should live and think. But the warning of Mary is, if we're proud and we set ourselves up against the ultimate king, in the end, God will bring us low. But the humble, those who say, I need somebody to direct my life. Jesus, you're so much wiser than me. I need you to be my king. Well, as we humble ourselves, Mary says, God will lift us up. Or again, a saviour is, well, you need to be humble to recognise you need a saviour. The very name Jesus means God saves, God's the rescue. We're all in danger because we've lived in God's world and ignored God. And that leaves us liable to his judgment. We need a rescuer. But again, to be honest, if we're proud, we won't acknowledge that. In the presidential election last year, Donald Trump announced himself as a Christian and then said, but I don't ask God for forgiveness because I don't do much that is bad. If you're proud, you won't acknowledge you need a saviour. You won't acknowledge you need a rescuer. And much as it's easy to mock Donald Trump, and it is quite easy, The danger is actually we can do the same. We're not people who need to ask for forgiveness. But the hungry, humble person will say, I need a saviour. Because I know what I'm like. I've not loved God even though he's given me anything. I've not everything. I've not loved other people as I should. I need a rescuer. I need a saviour. Do you see, Mary's saying there's this division. The proud, they'll end up ignoring my son. And God will bring them down. The humble, those who recognize they need a king, they need a savior, well, God will lift them up. One of the most moving experiences of my life, one or two others here were there as well, was being in Kibera, the massive slum area on the edge of Nairobi, and being in the house of a family suffering gut-wrenching poverty. The young mother recently widowed, they were living in cramped conditions, her and her children, and yet they were singing a song in Swahili, "There is sorrow now, but there is joy yet to come." He lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. Now, part of what we've looked at happens in this life. Actually, that as we humble ourselves and say we need Jesus, he is the one who now offers us life as it's meant to be lived. But it's also looking to the future. On a day when Jesus returns, and those who've humbled themselves before him really are lifted up into eternal joy. But also tragically, a day when the proud who said, "I had to need Jesus," are brought down. It's radical stuff. Is it true? How do we know it's true? I mean, is it just the sort of thing you lob out to people in difficult circumstances? Let me tell you why I'm convinced that this is true. Look at the end of Mary's song. "He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Why do I believe that one day God will finally lift up the humble and bring down the proud? It's because God has got a history of always doing what he says. About 1,000 years before Jesus, he made a promise to Abraham, "Through you, the whole world will be blessed." And for centuries, that promise just hung around. Until Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, came along. Today, you know that promise is true. Why? Because there are people across the world, in every nation of the world, who will say, "Jesus has blessed me. I have life as it's meant to be because of Jesus." That promise to Abraham, just as Mary picks up, that promise to Abraham was kept. He'll keep his promise again. There will be a day when this great reversal, when those who are down are lifted up as they trust in the Lord Jesus, when those who are proud living without him are brought low, he will keep that promise as well. Do you see, Christmas is more radical than you realise, because Mary says Christmas shows that there is a great reversal coming, where the proud are brought low and the humble are lifted high. It's more radical than you think. And it should be life-changing. Because nothing actually matters more than humbling ourselves before God and recognizing just how much we need him. Can I force the point a little bit? I wonder which side of Mary's division you're on. Might be that you're here this evening, pretty successful, but you haven't acknowledged that you need Jesus as your king and your rescuer. It might be, to be honest, you've got questions about what I said. That's fair enough. But can I encourage us? Have the humility to check it out. Have the humility to check it out. One of the things I guess about life today is it's possible just to surround ourselves with people who hold the same opinion. You know, that's particularly true in social media, actually. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, you surround yourselves with people who think the same things as you, and you just kind of enjoy each other sort of affirming your opinion. And I just want to say, have the humility to ask the question, have I got my approach to life right? It's worth examining the life of the Lord Jesus. It's why we run these Christianity Explored courses. There are flyers at the back. Or the books that are free, please take one of them and just open them and ask the question, could this be true? Have I got my approach to life right? Could be for others, but in that position, you know, we thought about this a little bit, and maybe this evening we just arrive, and to be honest, we are bowed down. We know we need somebody to direct our lives because we can't do it ourselves. We know we've not loved God and we need a rescuer. Can I say tonight would be a good night just to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. And if you're in that position, then I'd love to chat to you tonight. But it might be that there are some of us here, and actually we are those who've humbled ourselves and said, Lord Jesus, I need you to be my King. I need you to be my Saviour. What's the message of tonight for us? Can I encourage us, don't be smug. You know, don't go round this Christmas thinking I'm right and everybody else is wrong and I'm celebrating Christmas properly when nobody else is. No, no, God brings down the proud. No, no, rather we humble ourselves. And can I suggest good words for us if we humble ourselves and receive Jesus this Christmas? Good words would be these. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. If we'll be humble and bow before Jesus this Christmas, he will lift us up and we can glorify him. Let's pray together. Where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. So Lord, please help us to be humble and meek souls this Christmas, we pray, and be those who look to the Lord Jesus, we ask, in his name. Amen. We're going to close.